happy Wednesday. Something wonderful is happening to you today. Can you feel it? Take a deep breath in. Release and let go. Oh. One more breath in. Just take a nice deep breath in. Check in with your body. Notice how you feel. When you exhale, release and let go of all the tension. And just imagine now you're sort of stepping out of your mind and body, hanging up your troubles, worries, concerns, letting go of your accomplishments, desires, needs. And let's just step into the warm, a warm bubbling jacuzzi or hot mineral spring, you know, your favorite warm body of water, just to sit back and relax in. When you're in the jacuzzi, there's no effort in the meditation or relaxation. You're just effortlessly relaxed. Now bring all your attention to the point between your eyebrows or your third eye. Just lifting your gaze, if it's comfortable, sort of rolling your eyes back in your head. And just affix your attention at this point. This is our tuning dial. We use this to tune in to the more subtle energies flowing through our body, the chi flowing through our meridians, the life force and the air we breathe. Take a moment and hold your breath and connect with your heart beating. Feel it beating. What's doing that? You're not doing that. There's a life force within you that is you. Connect with that. Be that. The pain and suffering comes, all your troubles comes from thinking that you're the stories in your head. From thinking you're the dramas or the gossip or whatever's happening around you. Take a deep breath in. But you're the consciousness itself. That which you are was here before you were born and will be here after you die. What's taking place in front of you is your life. And it's kind of like a movie. What do you want to live in your life? What do you want to experience? What do you want to see happen? And you sort of decide on those things, and then you create them. Take a deep breath in. And, you know, we're going to talk in the meditation about this principle, be, do, have. So Ryan Joyce, our guest today, who's the owner of Rockstar Tan, we are in a sales company together. It was called Liberty League International. Even the name kind of makes it sound sketchy. But it was a really great company and opportunity. And we got lots of sales training there, and it's really where I first started coaching people and teaching people, you know, over the phone and in person, giving public speaking talks on motivational type things. And we had this one sales trainer named John Lavinia. He was really influential in my life and wrote a book, Integrity is Everything. I just wanted to share just quickly some things out of it. Ryan and I were talking about it today when we talked earlier, and I decided to pick it up because he had this principle called be, do, have. And, you know, when we talk about meditation, right, there's the eighth limb of yoga, dhyan, right, which describes meditation as a state of being. There's no act of doing. You're simply just being that which you are. You're simply being that which is causing your heart to beat. You're coming to know your true nature. You're abiding in the truth of your own nature. So that's meditation. That's what we're all striving to get. You know, there you typically to go there, you need a guru. You need an enlightened master. But we might get glimpses of it. You know, those glimpses where you feel peace and bliss and you're out of your mind. You know, that's when you're going into dhyan. Take a deep breath in. That's when you're just simply being, and there's no longer a doer doing. And so this principle of be, do, have is much the same. it's like, in a way, we're going to kind of take it back a few levels in consciousness in hopes that it'll take us further in consciousness. And I think it's important to know that, you know, there's things that calibrate at different levels of consciousness, but just because something's higher doesn't mean it's better. You know, it's wherever the person is at, that's the best thing to use, that they'll be able to hear and get and take action on. So take a deep breath in. And so this principle of be, do, have, all doing is preceded by being. You know, who are you being? People who seem to have, you know, the Midas touch, everything they touch turns to gold, those are the people who are being in flow. They're thoroughly being people of success with no counter intention. You're just being people of success. There are the people who seem to take the spontaneous right action that brings them fortunate results. And the reason that they seem to be taking spontaneous right action is because they are taking spontaneous right action. Take a deep breath in, because they're being. You know, what's the affirmation that you hear me say probably every week? Dear Lord, please make me a pure vehicle for your love, light, and wisdom. My only desire is to serve thee. Use this mind-body vehicle. Please make me a pure vehicle for your love, light, and wisdom. My only desire is to serve thee. You know, it's being in that state of consciousness, that being open to receive, being open to be guided. Take a deep breath in. All the how-to in the world isn't going to bear fruit for someone who's not first being the person who would have the result. Take a deep breath in. And so think about, you know, one of the exercises we do a lot is we imagine our future self. We imagine already having that which it is that we're creating. And until you can do that, it doesn't matter how hard you work. It's like using force instead of power. It's not doing the thing in the certain way. You've heard me say this before, maybe, but it comes from The Science of Getting Rich, Wallace D. Wattles. Like two people doing the exact same thing. Like maybe two people have a pizza shop, one on one side of the street and the other on the other. And one is massively successful and the other one goes out of business. It wasn't location. It wasn't the business. It was that the person that was massively successful did the thing in a certain way. Now, you read this whole book, and it talks about the certain way. It doesn't describe it in detail what this certain way is. However, the certain way is the beingness. You're being the certain way of the person who has success. You know, when I heard this, when I read this today, it kind of jogged my memory. I sort of forgot this little mind program that I used to use and do my best to convey, but we struggle because we can never outperform our self-image. We can never outperform our self-image. Like, I always had abs in my mind before I had them in my stomach. You know, my wins always happened in my mind before they manifested in reality. Beingness is a primary state to manifesting. What it is that you would have in your life, it is the primary area of focus for anyone who is going to a higher level of expression in their life. Take a deep breath in. So beingness is the primary state to manifesting. It's the thing that comes before you manifest. And so what is the primary area of focus in your life? And to go to the next level of that expression, you have to have your mind focused on being that, on creating that. Take a deep breath in. We can all cultivate this beingness in a very simple way. You know, meditation and choosing the right thought through introspection. we do this consistently and deliberately, it results in elevated emotional state. The state becomes part of our self-image, our beingness. It's like, imagine everywhere you go, you bring peace and joy with you. Every door you walk into, people see the twinkle in your eye. They can't help but to notice there's something different about you, and they want to know. You're a vehicle for unconditional love, bringing peace and joy with you everywhere you go. You know, can you see yourself as that? Can you be that? You see, to identify who we are being, our innermost beliefs about who we and what we are capable of and what we are expecting in our life, we can ask ourselves one question: how do we feel? How do we feel? Because, you know, what's the formula? Our thoughts lead to our feelings, lead to our actions, lead to our results. Our emotions, our feeling is our compass in regards of what we are thinking. So if I'm happy, peaceful, and confident in having fun, then that's who I'm being. I'm a person who's in that flow and that current of life, including the currency of wallet and bank accounts, and it all flows to me easy, effortlessly, and enjoyable. All that I need. But if I'm stressed out, anxious, pissed off, resentful, then who am I being? Take a deep breath in. A person who's going against the flow. An unconscious person, right? I'm a person who's cutting off the current in your life. And once again, we can never outperform our self-image. Who you're being is showing up exactly in your life, who you are in your results. You can never outperform your self-image. So you're getting exactly what you expect. And it's exactly what you need, too. Just open your heart and say, yes, I'm grateful for all the money, love, and fine things I have in my life. Just being born and living in the coast of California. I mean, there's people on the call from all over, but in America, you know, being white in America, I mean, you're pretty fortunate. Take a deep breath in. By being this person, all the hard work in the world isn't going to bring me satisfaction. All the trying, it doesn't work. I mean, I've busted my butt working before, and it doesn't. You can't be successful until you become successful. You can't become successful until you become successful. Success happens in the workshop of your mind. So being is by far the most important part of this equation. So doing. So think in your mind. Now that you're the person who earns the money, has all the successful results you want in your life, has all the peace, joy, and happiness that you want without any counter intentions, what decision does that person make? Again, your future self, right? So it's easy to guide yourself. It's easy to have the answers. You're being the person. You're going to naturally do the things, and that person is going to do the thing that the person who's being. So an easy way to do that is when you're making decisions, is you think of a highly evolved person that you respect and model. Like, I always used Arnold Schwarzenegger for working out. I mean, I use Jesus all the time. You know, what would Jesus do? That sounds so cheesy, but it's not just Jesus. What would Gandhi do? What would Mother Teresa do? What would the saints do, the avatars of India, the gurus do? What would my guru do? I think of those things all the time, and I model myself after people I respect like that. So there's being, doing, having. And then the having is effortless. It's just the natural result of being. You know, the Jedi that says, you know, that isn't able to get what he wants, and then says, well, another way will present itself, and then another way presents itself. There is no effort in that having. It was a receiving. It's how open are you to receive? And the more open you are to receive, the more you'll receive. Because the amount of love and prosperity is completely infinite. You know, you create your life. You create the exact amount of your financial success. You're the writer and the star and the producer and the director of the movie of your own life. If you don't like your circumstances, create circumstances that you want. And it all begins in the workshop of your mind. So here's the catch, right? We must begin to use our will to choose the right thoughts consistently. This is where we get tripped up. This is where I get tripped up a lot. It takes a good deal of mental effort, of staying conscious, to use your will. You know, if there's a purpose for will, if I'm going to use will as a word, it is to choose your thoughts. So choose the right thoughts consistently, positive ones that make you feel good. How do you know you're thinking the right thoughts? Well, how do you feel? What are your emotions? Take a deep breath in. So John loved quoting Henry Ford. He's got one in here. Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is probably the reason why so few engage in it. Take a deep breath in. So I just want to notice how you feel. How conscious are you of your consciousness? How conscious are you of the fact that you're not your mind or body, but you're the life force itself? Let's just bring up our hands for a moment, bringing our attention on the tips of our fingers and palms of our hands. These are our love satellites. And I'm just going to send love over the airwaves, and you're going to tune into it by tuning into the tips of your fingers and palms of your hands. It might be helpful to make little circles with your hands. It could be a subtle feeling. Imagine balls of love and light forming in the palms of your hands. And take a deep breath in, drawing the love and light down your arms, seeing it go into your physical heart, expanding it 2 or 3 inches. Exhale and exude it out from every cell in your being. And again, take another deep breath in. Be gluttonous. Breathe in the love and the light. Expand your physical heart 3 or 4 inches. Exhale and exude it out so you're enshrouded in a cocoon of golden white light. Now tune into your hands. Feel the energy growing. It is infinite. The love never runs out. Take a deep breath in. Expand your physical heart more, 5 or 6 inches, filling it with love and light. Exhale and exude it out so you're enshrouded in a cocoon of golden white light. Go ahead and bring your hands down on your lap. The palms in a gesture of being open to receive. And let's just take one moment in silence, putting all our attention at the point between our eyebrows and breathing love into our heart. Breath in. And what I hope for everyone on this call is that before the night ends, you have a written goal. It's the end of March, and what's coming up? April is the next month. So imagine it's April 30th, and how do you want to feel? Do that now. What do you want to accomplish in April? It doesn't have to be that specific. How do you want to feel? What, you know, what do you want to look like? It can just be a presence. How do you want to feel, look? How do you want people to respond to you? Like, don't make it that hard. It's only 30 days. But just get a sense. And it can be many things, you know, not many things, but your spiritual life, your maybe your relationship or your personal life, your spiritual life, your professional life. just take a moment to imagine, and then go out a little further to the end of the year. What do you want that to look like? And just know, whatever it is, you know, you can't outperform your self-image. If there's one thing to take from that meditation, is that you won't outperform how you think of yourself or how you see yourself. I encourage you all to start thinking of this goal and to have it written down before the end of the day. And next month, we're going to really hone in on this stuff. We're kind of going to go back to the beginning, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so today I'm going to let Ryan tell you kind of his story, his success story, and I'm just going to introduce him right now. But first, let's just take one more deep breath in and regalvanize all our attention at the point between our eyebrows. And so I came to meet Ryan Joyce as part of this sales company we were in. And my partner at the time, Jennifer, actually met him in the Bahamas. I wasn't able to make the trip. And Jennifer came home like she had found like a guy for me to go on a date with, you know, a man friend. And, you know, she was right. Ryan and I hit it off great. And when Ryan came into this company, he was an owner of an L.A. tan, one L.A. tan. And he just wanted, he was doing well in life and doing great. He just wanted to keep doing better. And so we joined this company, and we got to know each other throughout this company. And eventually what happened with this company is that it kind of went out of business, and it kind of turned out to be a little shady. And Ryan ended up about $100,000 in debt with an L.A. tan. And the L.A. tan, I believe, you know, he was going to get rid of the L.A. tan, which was a franchise, and start his own tanning business. And so just take a deep breath in. Just imagine what it would be like to be $100,000 in credit card debt. That's like the worst debt, right, because of the interest. I remember talking to Ryan one day, and you know, I think I wanted him to buy the book Think and Grow Rich from me. I think it was free, but I think shipping was like $1.50 or something like that. And take a deep breath in. And I don't think he had the money, or he just couldn't even think about spending less than $5 on something, you know. He was willing to not eat to pay his credit card debt off and to get that down. And so now, you know, it's several years later, I guess probably 5, 6, 7 years later, Ryan owns 3 of his very own rock star tans. He's married. He just had a child. And the last I talked to him, because I wanted to have him on the call about 6 months ago, he said, oh, I'm crazy. I'm planning a trip around the world in a sailboat. You know, let me get back to you when I'm done. And I just, that sounds like something Ryan would do. And then I remember he's having a baby, and I kind of thought that's going to be off. He's not going to do that trip, but he is doing the trip, and he's going to tell you a little bit about it. And I think without further ado, I'm going to bring Ryan on. Ryan, how you feeling, brother?
Pretty good. Thanks for the introduction there.
Yeah. Did you get a connection in the meditation, Ryan? Just out of curiosity.
I did. That was a very peaceful and good time. I enjoyed it.
It was good. So, if I could just sort of set this up, Ryan, like, can you take us from, you know, the mindset of someone who's $100,000 in debt and you know, is going to restructure his entire life? And I just remember how calm and cool and collective you were during those times. I remember you coming to remember the Santa Monica Success Mastermind and supporting me. You know,
I remember
that. You remember that, yeah.
And so, I remember all that. So, yeah, it's probably gone on, it might be almost 10 years now. So,
wow, yeah, you're right. It's getting closer to 10 years.
Yeah, so time goes by, but it's always like listening to you in the meditation, it was great because you brought up the whole be, do, have, and I definitely would not have be where I'm at today or have made it through what I've gone through without that mentality that you just pretty much described with the be, do, have. As far as being, I've never been the person that is $100,000 in credit card debt that doesn't have, you know, enough money to buy a $5 book or whatever it is. I've never been that person on the inside. And so even though I was that person at a time in my life on the outside, it's never who I was or saw myself being. And as you said, you can only be as good as a person as you project yourself to be. And I like to think that that's one of the main reasons why I've actually been able to get myself out of that situation and be to where I'm at today. So as far as the mentality goes, I've always been that person that saw myself as a success in making it. So when it came, times were tough or whatever, I did. I put stuff on my credit cards to make the business run, to make my lifestyle run, to survive. And eventually got up to, actually, it was probably like $117,000 in credit card debt. savings all wiped out, zero savings, zero retirement, pulled out their 401k, pulled out their Roth IRA. There was nothing else. Everything was into my business to make it happen. And, you know, just kept trucking along. And then at the time, so, yeah, I was a part of the franchise. The franchise at the same time as Liberty League about went out of business. The franchise company went bankrupt. This is, you know, 2007.
So this is L.A. Tan went bankrupt?
It was actually Hollywood Tan. So, yeah, Hollywood, yeah. That's it, Hollywood Tan. So, yes, they did go bankrupt. And during that time, so they tried to salvage as many of their 300 franchisees as they could. I wanted to stay with them. About half the franchisees wanted to jump ship. And they wanted us all to sign new franchise agreements for 10 years. And I was trying to negotiate a better term with them. They were not budging. And so even though I didn't want to leave, I, you know, it was scary going on your own, leaving and all this stuff. And so I left. And my brother said, hey, you know, you don't need them. Let's open up your own salon. Call it Rockstar Tan. So my brother gave the name, started that. I had a partner that I owned that salon with, and he wanted to sell everything. He wanted to sell the salon and just jump ship. And he was like, hey, the economy's tanking. And I was like, this is my livelihood. He was just a silent investor, and he didn't really care too much. But with myself, that was my livelihood. I ran the salon. I was moved up to California from Michigan to run the salon. My whole entire life was in it. So if this didn't turn out to work, I would, you know, be file bankruptcy, start all over, go back to being an employee into the quadrant and an employee. And it wasn't for me. So I wasn't going to give up until, you know, the world forced me to give up, and that wasn't happening. So I actually had to buy them out. So I decided, you know, based on the assets the business had, even though I had all this debt and everything, that I was going to buy them out for $45,000. I didn't have $45,000. So I was
Ryan, you're $117,000 in debt, and then to keep going, you have to buy out your business partner with another $45,000?
Exactly.
Okay, sorry, I didn't
to prevent him.
Okay.
Oh, great insert. So we did actually have the salon for sale. It was for sale for about $450,000, 2008, so yeah, a lot of time. And then after a while, it was on the market for a while. The person that was going to buy it, you know, they didn't get approved. Then another one. Next, you know, we were headed with someone to buy it for like $350, and it was just dropping down in price. After we paid off all our debt and everything, I would have walked away with like $40,000, you know, after paying my $117,000 credit card debt and everything, and after being into the business and putting my whole life into it, to have $40,000 in my name and nothing else, it wasn't. After putting 5 years into the business at that point, I that wasn't an option for me. So I was like, you know, this is not going to work. So I actually had to come up, figure out a way to come up with the money and do whatever it took. So I actually took out an extremely horrible loan on the business. That was a daily payback loan that was like 40% interest, just to give him $25,000 of the $45,000. And then I took out another – I asked my brother to give me three of his credit cards, and I paid him back myself to get the other $20,000. And bought my partner out, had the salon all in my name, had all the rights, and worked the salon, you know, 50 hours a week, and I turned it around. You know,
so $165,000 in debt.
Yes. And And, you know, going from there to where I'm now, it was a very slow process, not easy. So buying him out in, like, 2008, and then, you know, 2010 came. That's when I had to – by then I had to change my my name and everything from Hollywood Tans to Rockstar Tan, January 2010 and all that. And then by the end of that year, I still was about $9,500,000 of personal credit card debt. I saw a location open up in Orange County, right next to a brand new 24 Hour Fitness for a new salon. My brother actually saw it in the paper, and he was like, "Hey, you got to get this next location." And I'm like, "How am I getting another location? I have $100,000 in credit card debt." I go, "My tanning salon is like has 10 grand in its bank account. It's like paycheck to paycheck." I go, "I'm making money. You know, I'm actually surviving, but there's no net worth, nothing." And he's like, "No, you got to get the slot. It's a great location." And I was like, "All right, I'll just go there and look at it." So not thinking anything, I, you know, said, "All right, got to go look at it. Got to do this." Even though, you know, knowing that there's no financial position to actually expand and open up, went there to look at it, met with the guy. He loved my energy. I liked the location. And after I saw it, I actually wanted it. And they looked at it. And because I had a business, it's crazy. If you want to get approved for a business, no one will give you money for it to start a business. But once you have a business, and if you've had a business survive for 3 to 5 years, everyone will give you money to keep a business going. It's how that's how the world works and what I've learned. So I said with them.
So can I stop you real quick, Ryan? I don't want to stop
sure.
the flow. But I just want to, you know, this is 2010. This is the lowest point of the economy. This is, you know, a big franchise just went bankrupt. Ryan's starting his own new business, his own new franchise. And he, you know, so who is he being when he's going to look at the place? You know, he's being a person that would buy another salon. They'd go look at another salon, right? I'm just pointing that out. But okay, Ryan.
That's actually a good point. You're right. So definitely not a person to like say, "No, I can't do this, can't do that." I don't know. I've never had the mentality where I can't do this, can't do that. I was like, "All right, my brother found the location." I was like, "All right, I'll go look at the salon." So I went and looked at it, even though, you know, a normal person would be like, "Hey, let me just, you know, fix my first salon and get it up and running, get some savings in the bank before you even open your eyes." Thing. But my eyes are always on the horizon, always on more, always on success, being, you know, getting to where I believe I am. And so I went to look at it, and
hold on, that part's too important for me to let glaze over. Getting to believe where I am. What do you mean by that?
Well, I have always believed myself to be not average, and I've always never wanted to be average. I've actually – one of my old famous quotes I put back in MySpace when I used to have MySpace way back is I don't want to have 2.5 children and a white picket fence. And my mentality, my whole life has been, you know, because the average household has 2.5 children. The average, you know, person, you know, in America wants to own a home with a white picket fence. And for me to accomplish that in my lifestyle and my life and die one day knowing that I have done what the average American has done, I would rather die failing at reaching for the stars than to have ever succeeded at normalcy. Has been my mindset. So
yeah.
That's
thank you.
That's my mindset always been, and so you know, with one salon, yes, with my finally after buying my partners out, the economy was turning around. I could make enough money, 60-70 grand to live off of and be okay. But it's nowhere near where I saw myself being, and I was already in my 30s, and I would rather lose it all again and start over from scratch if it wasn't going to be to where I wanted myself to be. So I looked at a new location. And the new location, they were like, "Okay, so what do I do?" I said, "Well, if I'm going to do this, this is for the long term. I'm in it for all. I want to sign a 15-year lease." And they were like, "Oh, wow, okay, great." And looked at it, no problem. They're like, "You're approved, 15 years, no problem. You get the lease." Now, I had no money to pay this lease, and I had no money to fill the lease with equipment. But I signed the lease for 15 years before I even had any of that. And then I contact different lease companies for leasing equipment. And I contact the tanning. At this time, the tanning industry is shrunk in half. Salons are going out of business. It's right before the tan tax was put into care from the Obama Health Care Act. And salons are just going out of business like crazy. And so there's not too many people that will loan anyone money or lease people money for tanning equipment. It's just not a safe bet. Banks won't look at it. But there's one company left in the U.S., Castleton Capital out of Florida. And I talked to them, and I talked to Sun Capsule, who makes them the manufacture the tanning equipment. And I told him I want to get a whole new salon. And he's like, there's not too many new salons opening up now. And they're used to just selling one machine at a time, this and that. And I was like, no, I need 13 of your machines, and which is like $200,000. And he's like, okay, well, this guy Castle and Capital. So they talked back and forth, and basically they were willing to guarantee my equipment lease to Castleton Capital based on my conversations with them, who I was. Just I believe they just believed in my business going forward based on the person I was. And they were able to give me $200,000 of equipment lease to fill my salon.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Do you think that they believed in you because you believed in yourself so much? Do you think that was apparent to them?
It had to be apparent because when I'm on the conversation with them, I was I'm a high energy guy. I don't know if I talk too fast to you guys. I get told I do that sometimes, so I apologize if I'm talking too fast. But it's just who I am. And yes, it's funny because the franchise that I used to be with, Hollywood Tans, they actually did a filed bankruptcy, but they're still around. And so Sun Capsule, the tan equipment company I've been with, their president met with Hollywood Tans president down in San Diego and was trying to get them to buy some of their equipment. And he actually got done with talking to them after he sold me my equipment and when I was opening up my right before my third location. And he went off on them because they were like, oh, we don't know about expanding. Right now with the economy, we don't want to expand on locations. And he was like, you know what? That Ryan Joyce, the Rockstar Tan over there, has actually more balls than any of you guys and knows more what he's doing with running a tanning salon than any of you. And he actually told me this, the president of Sun Capsule, which is really good to hear since I'm only a lonely guy with two salons, that he was saying this to, you know, to a big company like Hollywood Tans, which owned 150 tanning salons in the country. So
yeah, that's the way to be.
It was getting back to Castleton Capital, so he was talking to me, and I still remember this to this day. He was like, so do you have a location for this equipment we're going to send it to you? I said, yes. He goes, do you have a lease? I go, yep, I already signed a lease, 15 years. He goes, okay, and you need us to finance your equipment? I said, yes. He goes, all right, so what is your plan B? What if we don't finance your equipment? And I remember the president of Castleton Capital talking to me about this. Kevin Ruane is his name. And I was like, what do you mean plan B? I go, there is no plan B. He was like, so you signed a 15-year lease. You want us to finance your equipment, and you don't have a plan B? I go, no. I said, I am getting this equipment financed. This is going to happen. I am going to get this. And I guess he didn't mind what I said because I ended up getting the equipment financed. And
yeah.
I had a three-year equipment lease with them.
Can I stop you right there? Because, you know, we started a Thinking Grow Rich mastermind on Tuesday, and the first principle is desire. And it's to, what did we say? There is no plan B. You must be willing to burn all bridges behind you and stake your success on your ability to succeed. And, you know, there's also just a specific story in there about the man, Charles C. Barnes, who made up in his mind to go into business with Edison. And he showed up at Edison's work factory and said, I'd like a job. I intend to go into business with you. And Edison just knew when a man has made up his mind, they have a way to work it out or to make it happen. So that's all. But that's awesome, Ryan. Thank you.
And,
So you got
that's how I got salon two open.
Okay, that's salon two.
And I'm still 100 credit card debt and got it. But every single bit of the profit from the first salon I used to open the second one. And, you know, luckily, that first year of opening the second salon, it was at the end of 2011. Within 3 months, I was in the black. It was making money, so it didn't drain me. I didn't have any savings for to keep it afloat. And so it did well. It did really well. It rocked. It did better than my first salon. And I had a few years of doing really, really well. And I still wasn't able to pay my credit card debt off and everything. Not until this past year was I able to become totally 100% debt-free and pay off all the credit cards. But anyway, so the minute I actually was making money with two salons and I was able to actually have the income to pay off my personal credit card debt and actually take it back, I actually paid it down to like 55 grand and everything. And then I was like, you know what? It's been 2 years since I opened this. I want to expand and open another one. Got to do another salon. The income from two salons is not going to be where I want to be. And so I then looked for another location, trying to mimic what I did on the second one. I already had the contacts from Castleman Capital and them. It was a smooth process. Did another 50, actually tried to do a 15-year lease with this new company, but they didn't want it. They only wanted 10, which was very odd. They wanted a shorter term. But usually people do, you know. So anyways, I got a new lease, opened the third salon. The third salon did not go as well as the first two or as expected. And luckily at this time I had two salons up and running because the third salon, it took me three years to start making money. Like the salon actually broke even this past year. And this year right now, 2017, will be the first year that my third salon actually makes, you know, a dollar. Actually makes money. Wow. Doesn't drain me from the first two. So these last 3 years, I would have a lot more money if it wasn't for me opening the third one. But by doing it, now the next 3 years are going to be a lot better. So it's all going to work out. But the third salon was slow. It took 3 years for it to, you know, the equipment was just paid off. It actually is now going to be making money. It's going to do well this year. I'm assuming it's probably going to make between 60 and 100 grand profit. So it's definitely worthwhile. But it was 3 years of toughness, again, that I put myself right back into. Because, again, if I would have stopped short at one salon, at two salons, I would not be where I saw myself at. I still would not have been there, and I wasn't going to stop there. I would have rather had to, you know, dig in the trenches, as you say, for another, you know, however long it took to make myself where I'm at. And I opened the third salon, did it all again. Actually, that 60 grand I had paid down in credit card debt got back up to 100 grand. And not until this past year was I able to use the, you know, get it dug out. But finally, in 2017, I can say that after owning my salons for 13 years now and expanding to them, that they're all paid off. Credit cards are all paid off. And it's, you know, it worked out. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't work out quickly. The third salon wasn't as quick as the other ones. Didn't plan on the downturn in 2007. Didn't plan on the tan tax happening. 10% of all tans now are taxed and all that. And that was 2012. But all those things happened. And I just felt like, hey, if there's less salons, I mean, you know, more people come to my tanning salon instead of theirs. So, which has been the case. You just got to make it through. And
was it worth it, Ryan?
It was all worth it in the end. So now I have three tanning salons. I actually have a manager who's been with me as an employee for 10 years now. She's I promote her to manage all my salons. And so I'm finally in a position where I actually can step away. And you could pretty much say I'm retired. I'm 37. And I plan on, as Dave was saying earlier, my old focus is now is I'm not expanding my salons. So I'm not the person that can just sit at home and twiddle my thumbs and think of, you know, just contentness. I had to think of the next big venture. And so I've done a lot of sailing over the past year. Started out as for fun, then started out as a honeymoon to charter a sailboat in the British Virgin Islands. And then I've taken it one step farther and more serious. And in a couple months, I'm going to be purchasing a sailboat and going to be sailing from Florida to Europe and then staying in Europe for 6 months, sailing around, and then sailing it back from Europe to California. And that's my next adventure to apply, since I won't be expanding my my tanning salon at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I love it, Ryan. Thank you so much for sharing all that. And, you know, there's just a couple of things that I want to point out that just really come up for me as kind of like the two most important things that I got out of it. But, you know, I will persist until I succeed, right? Quitting was never an option, right?
it was like you will succeed or die, essentially.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And, you know, George Bernard Shaw, this was a guy that John Lavinia was always quoting. And it comes from Think and Grow Rich, so it's been programmed in my mind, this particular quote. But the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. Would you say you acted unreasonable these last 13 years, Ryan?
100% unreasonable. I have another friend of mine who's he's a successful employee, but he will always be, you know, an employee working, you know, 50, 60 hours a week, makes really good money, multiple six figures, but he's the exact opposite. You know, he would never be able to withdraw money from his bank account, this and that. And, you know, it's totally great, but we always talk, and he definitely is the reasonable man, and he actually admires my unreasonable man. But he does see that the possibilities and the freedom. Like right now, I'm actually, you know, pretty much have all free time. I just had a new baby boy, and I'm able to stay home with him, with my wife, all the time. I don't have to go to work. I don't need to. And it's for me to say, was it all worth it? It was more than all worth it. And I still get it's given me the confidence, and that's for anything. I mean, I go back to college for anything. I've had the ability to have that, as you said, you have to see yourself as that kind of person. I don't think too many people would have been able to go through what I've gone through and had the confidence to persevere through it. And that same mentality is what I'm able to use through with, like, sailing. A lot of people are like, oh, my God, you're going to what? You're going to sail across the Atlantic. You're going to do this. They look at me like I'm crazy, this and that. They would just never do it. But, again, it's about being the person that you know that when you do something that no one else would do, that you do it. But you don't do it carelessly. I've never been a person that says, I want to open up this business I don't know anything about and just do it blindly and not put it through it. It's when you be that person, you know you can do it. And then after you know you can do it and you commit to doing it. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not a person that thinks about things for 10 years to do it or else I know they will never happen. When I think of something, I crash course myself on educating myself on it 100%, and I take action sometimes within hours when the normal person would take years. And I do it. I attack it just like with sailing. I attack sailing the same way I did with this and took in all the courses, night courses, day courses, radar classes, navigation courses, sailing, done tons of sailing out here in California coast. I've done as much sailing in preparation as possible that some people might say take over 12 years. I've done it all in a year preparing myself. And I know that with that mentality, I feel very confident crossing the Atlantic.
Yeah, I love it, Ryan. You know, that's Tony Robbins' formula for success. You know, I don't know if it was an Awaken the Giant Within or what book or I got it from him, but he tells the story how he wanted to be a speaker, you know. And he could have spent 10 years getting the experience he got in 1 year. He just took every speaking gig that he could and spoke 363 out of 365 days, you know. But that's how he got 10 years of experience in 1 year or whatnot. Makes sense, right? Same type of thing, right?
That makes 100% sense. And I believe if you really want something, you can do it and do it quick and do it now. And you know, you're going to hear all the naysayers. Like, I hear from my family members, from everybody. Oh, no, you can't be doing this. You like when I was going to sail for the British Virgin Islands for my honeymoon, you're planning a wedding. You're doing this. Why are you doing the sailing? Why are you getting scuba certified at the same time? And I was like, well, why can't you do it all? I go, so I was going every weekend scuba diving certifications out here. I was doing sailing certifications because I wanted to go and charter a sailboat in the Virgin Islands, and I wanted to scuba dive on it myself, me and my wife, and do it all, and I wasn't about to just say, oh, I'll do it later. I knew that if you ever say do it later, sometimes those things will never happen.
Yeah, I can relate. So, you know, Ryan, you know, you pointed out, like, another quality that you possess, and that's, you know, unsuccessful people are generally thinking this or that or one or the other, where successful people have the mindset of, why can't I do both? I'm going to do both. I don't understand. I can do both. Right? Is that right?
Yeah, it is right. Like, my mindset has always been like, it's like with pain or with anything, like, I give my wife 100% respect. Like, she just went through labor, all natural, no epidural, and it was great. And I was trying to help her through the pain and all that. And I can't even imagine what you went through. But it's like the human body, whenever you think you don't have enough time for something, whenever you feel like you don't have enough sleep or preparation or time to get it done, whenever you feel like it's like a marathon. At the 2 mile mark, you could be done. Your human body is like, I can't do it no more. I have to walk. I cannot do it. But it's amazing if you just tell yourself you can and that you can't, your body has the ability to keep running for 26 miles and finish the marathon. When you're at the 2 mile mark, your body felt like it was completely exhausted, done. It can't do no more. It's amazing how even when you feel like it's done, there's not enough time, it's not this, that your body can push harder. It can do more. There's so much more beyond what you think your limitations are than what they actually are. And so just, you know, if someone says you can't do this in that amount of time, you can't do that, well, what else are they filling their time with? What else could they be doing? Especially nowadays with the internet and stuff, we can accomplish so much more than people ever could accomplish before the internet was around, with knowledge and education and everything. It's, I don't know, I feel it's, you could do things way quicker than what the average person could tell you. Like, you know, I've heard so much about naysayers about this, that, but it doesn't have to take as long as what other people say.
Yeah, those who say it can't be done are always being interrupted by those who just did it, right, Ryan?
That's a great quote. I like that one. I agree with that.
Yeah, well, that was awesome, Ryan. I'm gonna open it up. I'm gonna talk to the people on the phone, okay, and see if they have a question or anything like that for you. Sound good?
Sound great.
Okay. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi.
So that was a different call. We meditated and then we did that. Did you enjoy that conversation?
I did enjoy it.
What did you find most valuable?
I liked the, like, you have to have a vision and go for it, and that Ryan was saying that there were people that doubted him or questioned what he was doing, and that he just went ahead and did it and didn't let that get to him.
Yeah. Not even for like a second, right, Ryan? Only fueled your fire.
You're right. I use it as fuel. Again, like I said, way back, I never wanted to be the person that had 2.5 children and a white picket fence. So if someone tells me not to do this, do that because everyone else does this, everyone else does that, then it's more reason for me not to do that because I don't want to have the white picket fence and the 2.5 children. If I listen to all them, you're guaranteed to get the white picket fence and 2.5 children. So in order to break free, you cannot continue to do what others do, or else you'll have just what others have.
Yeah. Thank you. Was that it, Cassandra? I think I maybe heard you say you didn't really have a question. Or did you have one?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thomas.
David, hi, Ryan.
Hey, Dave.
So, Thomas, what did you find most valuable about today?
Yeah, I liked the meditation you did. The beginning was a good reminder just for looking up and, like, focusing on your heart. Like, what you said kind of resonated, so I wrote that down. And, yeah, Orion, your story was inspirational. Like, the big one I wrote down is, where do I want to be? Burned bridges in the past, and just continuing to be aggressive. Don't stop. So that was, like, great fuel for my fire. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll say one thing about Thomas. When Thomas and I first met, or, you know, Thomas is a client, and I, part of his reasoning, I think, for getting a meditation coach was, well, it's not something that most people would do. And so long as I'm not doing what most people are doing, I should be all right. That was some of your philosophy, right, Thomas?
Yeah, I'm surprised you remember that. Yeah.
Yeah,
awesome.
I remember because
I like that.
It's my philosophy too. Yeah, right? It doesn't that go with what Ryan said, kind of, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's just don't follow the herd. If you follow the herd, you end up with the herd.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, great.
I love it.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
How are you feeling today?
Good. Hi, Ryan. That was an amazing story. Congratulations on knowing what you wanted. It's nice to hear somebody say they have that kind of solid confidence in their own abilities and their own momentum. And that's, I'm trying to think of times that I did that, or I don't think, you know, I certainly am not as high octane all the time, but I do understand that feeling of complete determination of not accepting less than what I wanted or what my idea is. And I understand, I'm a big one, well, when someone tells me how to do something, I just immediately want to do it another way. I do not want to be told how to do stuff. And I always used to say, you know, people who say, this is how you do that. I say, if I have to do that every day for the rest of my life, why on earth would I want to do it the same way every time? I would die. But I like so that. I do understand having some, you know, sticking to what you think is right and having the big picture and knowing you can get there and not having to be defined by the details, not having to nail them down in some kind of reassuring way, just knowing that if you slingshot yourself out there, you're going to get where you're going.
I like that point there as far as like the not having all the details down, because that's, I think, a lot, you know, every one of my friends, I think everybody has a dream or a goal of like, you know, I'd like to work for myself one day and stuff like that, but only very, very few people do it. And I've always wondered why, because, you know, I'd love to have all my friends over this, own a business. We all have free time. It would be great, but it's that. But a lot of people get caught down in the details or thinking they need to have every single detail or check mark checked off to know exactly the ins and outs before they ever take step one onto a new venture. And that will never happen. And so, therefore, the new venture never gets, you know, started. And a lot of things, you know, you just have to get started, as you just mentioned, and then the details will come. They'll follow. There'll be ups and downs. And the best way to learn is actually, you know, just taking that first step and jumping right in.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan.
Donna is in her, is just retired from after 30 years or maybe 40 years of teaching, 30 years of teaching, I think, and she is interested in starting a business, Ryan. And she's kind of started. Any advice? Any advice for her?
Take that step. You know, that's the best advice. It's kind of, you know, don't get too bogged down in the details, but, you know, a lot of people are like, I want to start a business. Do I need an LLC? Do I need this? All these little things. And, you know, you can always start the business and, you know, as you learn the business, then do the LLC, then do this, that. But to try and get every single piece of the puzzle complete 100%, then take that first step, it sometimes can be so overwhelming that first step never happens. So my only advice would be is, you know, try to, you know, get as much information as you can, but, you know, don't wait too long before you take that first step, because a lot of times you can take the first step and then all those other things you can always do after you start the business. And sometimes, you know, you don't have enough space, you don't have enough inventory, whatever it may be. Like, I like to watch Shark Tank all the time. It's a great show. And a lot of these people, like, later on, you can always expand and do that stuff once you get started and say, oh, I actually have more people that want my product than I can even make. But that's a good problem to have that some of these people on Shark Tank have. And, you know, they can worry about that later. But if you always try to think, like, well, if I do this and some people want it, am I going to be able to make all these baby things or whatever I'm selling? And then you think so much about it, you never actually start your business. So my only advice would be is, you know, to start it and then work at it, you know, consistently, and don't throw it on the back burner. And then all those little details, though, you'll slowly, you know, incorporate them to fine-tune the business. But the worst dilemma or worst thing you can do to yourself is not take that first step.
Thank you, Ryan. Miley.
Hi.
Hi. Do you have a question, or would you like to share what you found most valuable?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. I haven't heard very many stories from really successful entrepreneurs, and so I really appreciated hearing all of the awareness that you have over your process and how you got to be where you are today. It's really inspiring.
Thank you.
I've aspired to be an entrepreneur for a really long time, so it's really great to hear about how you persevered through roadblocks and things like that. But I do have one question. What drew you to the tanning field?
Great question. So when I was going to college at the University of Michigan, I worked as a personal trainer as a job, actually. And it was a great job to have while I was in school. I could make my own hours with my clients, and when I had a test due, I could always tell, this is final week. I won't be able to train you guys. You're like, oh, no problem. So it was a great job. And so I was in the industry when I graduated. At the time, Bally's managers were making really good money, and so I decided to get into sales and management. So I worked for the gym, and by the time I saved up my money for the first 3 years and was ready to put my money in with my friend and open a business, I wanted something similar to what I was doing. And, of course, I looked into, like, GNC and smoothie shops, the things that were gym-related. But tanning was always, after we looked into it, it was the exact same business model as running a gym. And when people come in and get gym memberships, their monthly memberships, same thing as a tanning salon, monthly memberships. Instead of the supplements that you sell at a gym, you sell the tanning lotions at a tanning salon. Instead of the gym equipment, it's the tanning equipment. But if they're both service industries, they're both the exact same. The only difference is a gym costs $1 to $2 million. A tanning salon costs about $300,000. So it was something that I could get into more. But that's how I chose tanning. It was just very similar to the field that I had all this training from at Bally Total Fitness.
Cool. I'd like to say for the people in Arcata that I think that the old spotlight video that went out of business, I think that would make a great rock star tan. Our town does not have a tanning salon. And the little ones that have, the places that have like one bed or two beds, they're always booked and they're crappy. Like good tanning beds kill it in Arcata. That's my thought anyways, but
all right.
Deb G.
Yo.
Yo, how are you feeling today?
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you good.
I'm good. Yes.
Good.
That was good. You know, it's interesting because as a growing solopreneur, I and as someone who's been sort of trying to get her stuff together for a few years now, to say the least, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I call those people my personal mentors, you know, since I can't hire them for tens of thousands of dollars to coach me personally. So that's good, because there's a lot of the same. You hear a lot of these stories of these people who have had debt or whatever their doubts were, you know, and kind of finally decide to be that person. And there you have it. And here's another testimony to that. So I have a question as well.
Sure.
So you and David knew each other how again?
Through Liberty League International. At the time when my first salon wasn't doing too well, I was actually looking for other revenues of income to I had the one salon and to do that. So I joined the sales company Liberty League International, and I met David. He was in that company as well.
Cool. And so do you meditate? Or putting you on the spot. Do you meditate?
you do put me on the spot. So I am not a huge Dave and I were talking about this earlier. So as far as like structural meditation, no, I do not. But I am definitely a very, very introspective person. And my wife teases me all the time because I take 30 to 45 minute showers. Forgive me for anyone who doesn't like the water wasting here in California, but I actually use those times as my personal time to do all my thinking, I think extremely about everything, and I do it multiple times a week. And a lot of times it is in the shower. I actually have a nice place to sit down in my shower, and good thing I have a waterless hot water heater, so I don't have to worry about the water running cold. But it
very cool.
It gets me to think, and I do that multiple times a week, and that's where I think of all my next plans, what I want to do, what my next goals are. That was the best way I can answer that question, I guess.
No, that's good. No, and it's good. I think a lot of people like you, you know, find that time to at least sit in some sort of sense of, you know, getting inside themselves and figuring it out, which obviously you did. So thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. And, yeah, definitely, I do think that's important, getting inside yourself. You're right. That's a good way to put it.
If you study Think and Grow Rich, you know, because I, you know, you heard me say that when I read the book and what it told me that I could be anything I wanted to be, I just had to decide, believe it, and then I had to meditate and see it. And so what the book actually says about meditation is introspection, is that every single people of the people he studied, if they didn't meditate, they had a way of, like what Ryan said, in the shower. One guy would sit in a dark room until the answers came. You know, he'd think about it and then let it go. You know, one person, you know, this is a personal story, but they would drive it long, you know, they'd drive 2 hours to this one client and do it in silence. You know, that was their meditation, introspection. Just want to point that out. Well, thank you all for being here. That was fun. So this is just like a different thing that I might do on the fifth Wednesdays of the month, is have different guests. And and we all want Ryan to meditate too, by the way. You trust me that I'm
yes,
working.
Yes, we do. He's already doing so many pieces of it.
Yes, he is.
The intense visualization, the intense energy, the burning desire, the clarity through contrast, what you don't want.
Yeah.
The fixation, the real strong focus on a goal, and no defeat allowed.
Yeah. So like Deb G mentioned, she's listened to lots of stories of successful entrepreneurs before. You know, so have I. You know, and it's the same story all over again. You know, each person does the same thing. I mean, that's the whole point, is, you know, repetition is the mother of skill. The more we hear it, the more we put it in us, the more we practice it, the more we'll be it. And it's a be, do, have. So, Ryan, thank you so much, brother, for being here. And
you're welcome.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it, and I'm nice to meet you all. And hopefully I can be on another call another time.
Thanks.
All right. Well, good night, everybody. I love you. Until next time.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Dave.